everybody. We are on the second aspect of the Yad HaChazak. That means the consciousness of Chazak. Chazak means the powerful hand. We said there are three levels of consciousness. Yad HaGadol is the hand which is Gadol, its aspect of Chesed. And he said each aspect has left and right. That means each energy, each consciousness has the aspect of the Chesed and aspect of Gevura. It's aspect of sharing and aspect of judgment. Yad HaGadol, we said there were two parashiot. The first two parashiot that we read, the parashiot of Shemot, and we said in the parashiot of Shemot, a man has to go within himself and differentiate and call names of what kind of a midot and character he has. That was Parashah Shemot. Call names, the way God brought Adam in heaven and said, okay, look at all the animals and give them names. That is an indication that a man is able to look at the characters, the midot, the personality that one creates for himself and recognize what kind of a personality he has. That's calling names, giving names to it. Then we said we went and we looked the second aspect of Yad HaGadol, this Yad that shows the Chesed of Hashem. It's Vayirah. That's when Hashem gave seven makot, smits the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim, Eretz Mitzrayim, the seven makot. The seven makot is explanation of one to look through at seven characteristics that builds a character, a personality of a person. And we said those are consist of our habits. That means in the Parashah Vayirah, we looked and differentiate which habits of mine are good, which habits of mine are not good. I went into depths of my Yetzer Hara, to the darkness into my heart, and looked that which aspect of me which is holy, but it is involved and buried into the domain of a klipa, a shell, an energy that does not allow to express itself. So to speak, it is in the galut. Yetzer Hara uses my energy. I want to share something with you. When a person, God forbid, has a cancer, God forbid, has a tumor in his body, what the tumor does, the tumor takes the power, the energy of the man, sucks it, and doesn't allow the rest of the body to be nourished. As soon as you dry the source of sucking the energy, which is the cancer or whatever it is, as soon as you dry it, and you take the power of enabling to suck it, that thing is then dry, it will go just to total waste, and the energy that was derouting to go to this tumor will be given back again to who? To the body. That's exactly what happened in Yetziat Mitzrayim, in coming after Egypt, that God dried this cancer of Egypt that was surrounding the Kedusha, surrounding the goodness of Israel, and literally broke it. It's a bekiah, that means it split it into half. And when God split the sea, what did he do? He split it into half. And what did he need? Split into half. What it means is splitting into half. When we opened an opening for the B'nai Israel to go through, in reality the water is divided into two sides, the right and the left. And the Jews went in between. So the sea in reality was split in two. What that indication of this, the sea was divided into two? Okay, whatever. We are talking about the Torah. When you are going in there, you are not explaining Torah, you are coming up with an understanding. You are literally staying with the word of Torah. Torah says splitting of the sea, Yam Suf. It's a Bekiah of Yam Suf. That's what it is we are talking about. Now, let's go back. In this parasha, after parasha Vayera, we had the parasha Bo. Parasha Bo started the Yad HaChazak. What is God's judgment? And we said the God's judgment is totally cancel the Chokhmah, the wisdom, and the knowledge, and the understanding of the Klippah. To take it away to the extent that was powerless to move. That means you took the power of choice from the Klippah. When you don't have a choice, what happens to you? When you get to the point that you don't have alternative. Yeah. That was for Egyptian in the Egypt when it was total darkness. The Egyptian didn't have the power to choose. Now it goes and comes to a point that the Jews arrive to the Yam Suf. Yam Suf means the end. Suf means end. Yam is a sea. Now, in geography we learn, what is the definition of sea? What is the difference between ocean and sea? What is the difference between sea and lake? A lake is surrounded by land, but sea has an outlet to the ocean. Ocean is when connects two continents together. Now, that's geography. Now, he's talking the sea, he's talking about Yam, sea. How does a sea survive and gets bigger and bigger? Because the rivers feed always the sea. Now, get all this impression, because when we understand this nature, we understand what Bereshit says, that they are Nahal, they are rivers, there are four rivers that come into Gan Eden. Those rivers finally have to come to a sea, which is end of all the seas. Now, what river brings with him? All the goodness. All the goodness is washed from long distance and brought to the sea. So the sea is a place that has totality of the goodness of whatever the rivers bring. Now, Pharaoh was control of the sea that had all the goodness that God has given. Pharaoh had a control of it. Exactly like a tumor in a human being. Who gets fed first, the tumor or the body? First the tumor. How come? How does the power to get fed first? That's the Klippah of Mitzrayim. Now what is Klippah of Mitzrayim? There is a concept in Kabbalah called Chitzonut. That means exterior. What is superficial? What is outside? What is surrounding you and me? The outside world. How do you present yourself to the outside world? Who are you? How do you represent yourself to outside? Because the world of outside is controlled by Klippah called Mitzrayim. What is this Klippah of Mitzrayim? What is the outside? All the pleasures, all the information that I get, from where do I get? From outside. When I look at you, what do I look at? What do I see? Only your outside. Do I have any idea what's your inside? No. So I live only with the information that is from outside. Now, how much this outside is truth? Who is this outside? Say, you know, I have a
car I have? You know who's my friend? You know I know who I know? You know what kind of businesses I make? You know what kind of business I have? Everything that I'm talking is to do to present what? Who I am. Ask yourself, who are you? Who do you present yourself to the others you are? And how much of it is truth? Ask yourself that question. Because we are going to now study the point that Bnei Yisrael got after a year of submitting every harsh punishment to the Egyptian land, brings the Jews out. They said what that means. That a person goes inside to Yetzer Hara, to depths of his Yetzer Hara, and see what it is bad in him, and he decides to change. This is called in Kabbalah to release the mitzutzim, the spark of holiness that was burning within your own darkness, in your Yetzer Hara. You decide to surrender. That's the gold and the kesef, the silver that you borrowed from Egypt. That means you save that aspect of you. You recognize that aspect of you that is in galut, is in klipa. It's a parasite has sucked its energy. It's a prison. Now you want to release it. You want it out of Egypt. We think this coming out of Egypt is not done by ourselves. We require the help of Hashem. Without help of God, I cannot bring out this spark of holiness that have gone. With my hand, I have taken to Egypt. That means when a person submits its body to the pleasures of this world. When you are addicted, when you survive for the pleasure of this body, are you a free person? Now the day that you are able to control the pleasure of your body, that means you come to a circumstance that you can enjoy, your body can feel good. And that moment you stop, and you ask yourself the following question. If I enjoy this pleasure, this going to bring me to Hashem? Or is not going to bring me to Hashem? Only my body is going to benefit from it. If you recognize that only your body is going to benefit from it, what you do? You do mesirat nefesh. You take that pleasure and you give it to a man that satisfies God. That's called Mesirat Nefesh. Giving my nefesh, my being, to hand of God. Why? We said last week that God is a power that can fuse, make a fusion of two opposites. Point example, a male and female, they are opposites. When they get together in sincerity and kedusha, and they become one, there is a third element called HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes and fuses these two and causes a newborn. Only that time that there is a unification between two opposites, Hashem appears and becomes a partner with. Same way a Jew does. How the Jew does. A Jew totally is supposed to give its nefesh, that means the pleasure of its body, totally to Hashem. That means I will not enjoy, including from it. What do we eat? Why do you eat? What's the purpose of you eating? To survive what? Your body to survive? For what purpose? You mean you are not eating for to enjoy the food?
That too.
For what purpose? Who's going to enjoy from this pleasure? Only you. Only you. So what? For what purpose should I eat? Only for one reason. To nourish the body for purpose of being able to totally to do Hashem's work. Now, what that means literally? Literally means that I should nullify myself. This is the road to nullifying yourself. But this is the road of fusion as well. Why? Because I totally give Mesirat Nefesh, give my pleasure to Hashem, but I am supposed to use all my energy and capabilities to do work of Hashem. If I come to an understanding that I am nothing in this world, can I affect anything? Do I really can affect anything? Can I transform the world? Can I change the world? Those are questions I am setting. Now I want to come to a point to realize how can I bring absolute bitachon, that means to be sure that God is my Savior. Sure, not hope and not have faith. Absolutely sure. So Hashem brings in the Torah a story called Split of Yom Suf. Suf, we said, is the end of the end of the end of the end. Bottom line. That's what I ask you, what is your bottom line? Who are you? Bottom line now, who are you? Who made yourself to be? And how much whatever you will pray is the truth. This bottom line always, always goes into Egypt. Your bottom line is always in Egypt. And you want to come out. So Hashem brings the story and he says the following. The Pharaoh decides that he let the Jews go for nothing and he said, well, this nation, I shouldn't let them go. I'm going to get them. So he is coming with a whole lot of crazy chariots and he sets the animals, Midrash says, in such a way that the horses just simply were totally wild. So the Bnei Israel turn around and they saw that the Egyptians coming. They look at the sea and they started just screaming. What are the possibilities one can do at this moment? Have you ever been in such a situation? You couldn't go back and you couldn't go forward. You got to a point that you can't, despair is wrong, but you say, okay, this isn't, I'm finished. No. You have opportunities. Listen to the opportunities. What happened for a Jew that saw that the Egyptian is coming? And here is the sea. Four things could happen. Four possibilities. Rebbe of Chabad is explaining. There are four possibilities. And a whole lot of conclusion comes out of these four possibilities. One possibility is throw yourself to the sea. Is it a possibility? Of course. So they were in those people, they were people that they came and says, you know what? Let's jump! There's another possibility, say, why jump? You know what? Go to the Egyptian guy and say, look, you excuse me. Please, forgive me. What do you want me to do? I'm your slave. I am back. Skip, say, I'm going to work double for you. Is that a possibility? That's the two possibility. Third possibility. You know what? I'm going to die anyway. I cannot swim anyway. So I might as well face the enemy and go fight the enemy. I'm going to die. So I'm going to kill at least two of them. So let me go for a war. That's the third possibility. Oh, what's the fourth possibility?
Faith of God.
No, stand up and say, God, do something. Which one of these you will do?
Do something.
Fight? Okay.
Jump.
One.
Jump.
Jump.
Anybody takes to say, okay, God, let's go back to Egypt?
No.
I tell you, there were a lot of Jews that said, hey, Moshe, what are you doing? There wasn't any cemeteries in Egypt. You brought me in the middle of the desert to bury me? There weren't cemeteries in Egypt. Why did you have to bring me out to kill me here? So there were those that they said, let's go back. Come on, it's a better life down there. What kind of a life is this? So it was a possibility. And they went, the one starts screaming, says, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Now let's go one by one, look at every one of them. The one that is jumps into the sea is what kind of a character? The guy goes through life. What suicide? You never know. Let me, we will get there. It's not a suicide at all.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
Which one are you
going to
say?
Jump in the water, you still pray that you're going to get to the other side.
Hear me out. Come here, guys. Let's look at this in two ways. What it means in Torah when we talk about water? It means Torah. Whenever is water discussed, water means the energy of Torah. A person comes to real life, and he tries his way, then he tries Mao's way, then he tries communist way, then he tries Buddha, and then he says, okay, let's be more religious, Krishna, and then let's start small, this, and now let's go and study Kabbalah. But then he says, you know what, I'm going to submit my life to God and Torah. He lives life, he lives the war of life, and bears himself to a Torah. And he stays day and night, studies Torah. That's the guy who jumps into the sea. He jumps, he says, you know what? My salvation is only Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Torah. And I'm going to bury myself in the Torah. This guy has not done a iota good in this world. Not a iota. Nothing going to transfer. Because the decision in this world is the purpose of the creation. Is tasuli mishkan veshochanti betochan. That means come here and create a domain for me that my emet, my truth, can be established. A domain, a kingdom. I want you to domain. Now, by you burying yourself in the Torah, what have you done? Nothing. But if you take your Torah and you do something with it, fight. Oh, are you talking me to go and fight with those Egyptians? Because this is the second guy. Well, now what that means, go and fight. Is the guy becomes religious, he picks up a stone, he says, Shabbat, you made the Chilul Shabbat, you to die. You are a Kilipa. You are Erev Rav. You are bad Jew. You are no Jew then. You have to die. Fighting the whole world. To establish what?
Not himself.
Nothing. It's not going to aim anything. So now remains for the guy who is going to say, return to Egypt. Now, return to Egypt is the one, who is the one? He came out. He made a teshuvah, he decided to go the way of God. He wants to become established Torah and emet in his life, the truth in his life. And he starts doing the mitzvot, keeping Shabbat. And he goes through the life, he fails in his life. He says, okay, you know what? Gam zul letoval, no chachamim telling us that it's okay, take it easy, it's all right, nah, come on, let's try again. So he comes and tries and does more, and again he fails in his life. So nothing is not only changed, it gets worse. And what happens finally to him? He gives up. No hope.
else he's gonna do? He's gonna go back to Egypt. He's gonna say, look, I cannot make it. I cannot fight it. What am I gonna do? This is the one that will go back to Egypt and accepts the yoke of some other things other than Hashem and the truth. And the last one is what? What's the other last one? Is to stand up, say pray. Do you think the world is going to get any better if you sit down and pray from day and night? Do you think the stone will move because you prayed? None. None. Hot air. Pray what? He says, what it is true? What is correct? Rebbe, in his book of Sichot, says the following. The highest of the four approaches, of these four approaches that we said manifested before splitting of the sea, was the urge to pray. That was the highest. The guy says, look, for me to fight, or to run away, or to submit, or to jump, nothing. It's the pray. That's very good. He says, by taking care of his own spiritual development and cutting himself. That means he starts to pray. He is only thinking about himself and God save him. Does he think it's for the rest of the people? Or he's praying, may God help me here. Because when we come to Beit Knesset, what do? As soon as we start praying for who? Hey God, you know what, give me this, give me that, find me that, I need this, I need that, you know. From the beginning, you better come with a big list, and you usually have a good list to submit for the secretary to pick it up and to really go and execute it for you. But there is another way. Is one is not having a personal desire. It's not for my personal desire, but it is what? It's my path is really to go and do the divine service. You know, I have one thing to do. Whatever my mind tells me, I think every pleasure, if this pleasure is godly, it's going to give pleasure, nachat ruach to the tree. Or it's the pleasure for my body. If it is for my body, I don't want it. He says this step, going this step, only brings you to an aspect of cancellation of oneself. One of the most difficult tasks for a Jew to do is to nullify himself or herself. That's the highest level of approach in life. Now what is nullification? Not to make any decisions. Not to be responsible. Not to accept responsibility. Just the opposite. Every time there is an opportunity for you to enjoy yourself, stop yourself. Say, I enjoy only one condition to bring me close to Hashem. If it is eating, if it is sleeping, if it is anything that I do. However, I will put totally my energy in doing one thing, the work of Hashem. I am not really taking anything for myself. This is a fusion a Jew can do only. That he accepts to give his nefesh, his pleasure of life, his livelihood to Hashem, but uses all his power to the work of Hashem. Because if I say all the pleasure of my life I'm giving to Hashem, Hashem, what do you want me to do? I won't do anything. Anything that you want me to do, I'll do and I'm submitted to you. Is this man is doing anything? No. But if the man says, no, all the pleasures that I acquire, I do have it through your way, and I will take and do everything in my power to accept the responsibility of life and execute it, knowing that I am not going to have a pleasure, personal pleasure out of it. That's the point. No personal pleasure in it. Everything I do in my life is for sake of Hashem. Every pleasure is for sake of Hashem. If you are able to do that and put this process in your life, you have started to nullify yourself. The moment that you nullify yourself, you acquire the highest level of wisdom. Highest level of wisdom. That's why when it came to the sea, everybody started screaming. And I would like to read this section for you and explain step by step. Ve'yomer Adonai el Moshe. God came to Moshe. The God that is talking to Moshe is this Hovaya. Comes to Moshe. Matitz Akalai. Why you are yelling at me? When we look at the word Matitz Akalai, the first word is Mem. The first word of Tisak is Taf. And the first word of Eli is Aleph, the word Emet. He says, why are you screaming at me? Check out with the truth, with Emet. What Hovaya, this energy, tells to Moshe? Moshe, I cannot help you. I cannot help Bnei Israel at this point. And Moshe turns around to Hashem and says, Hashem, Hovaya, you are the God of Israel. You are Hovaya. You made a deal with Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov. Why you are saying, Matisak Allah, why you are telling me, don't tell me? Who should I talk to? Hashem is giving the secret to Moshe. Ramchal teaches us that this Hovaya that controls the nation of Israel goes by a law, by Mishpatim, has law. A certain written law, that law is in the Torah. The last parasha that we receive out of this is Mishpatim. That means the law of Hashem. This name called Hovaya is the energy that controls all the laws of Hashem. Now, if God has certain law, how can I use the energy of God and ask God to save me? How can I? Huh? Only one. If I have obeyed the law and I have done well, I have zechut. Or what is zechut? That means you have done work, you have accepted responsibility, and you have achieved the result, and because you have done good, you have a zuchut, that means you have now earned to ask Hashem and Hashem to do it for you. That's called zuchut. Correct? Everybody will understand this? Now, if I don't have zuchut, what happens? What Hashem is telling to Moshe. Matitzakala, why are you yelling at me? I am God of laws, Mishpatim. And as per law, the Jew hasn't done, doesn't have no zuchut. What did the Jews in Egypt? They went the way of Egyptian, they changed their name, they changed their ways, they didn't do Brit Milah, they didn't do any mitzvah. They didn't do anything. They went after Chitzoniyot. They went after their pleasure. They each presented themselves anything but the truth. That's why one has to ask himself, how do I present myself really to the world? To my neighbors? To my future fiancé? To my future wife? To my future husband? How much honesty? Real. Ask. That's the Egypt. So, what God tells, that there is an energy higher than this energy. This energy called Ze'ir Rampin. Capability is, if you have a Zuchut, he's there to save you. But if you don't have a Zuchut, he's not can save you. So Moshe says, what are we going to do? Because I cannot jump. Prayers is not going to get me anywhere right now because it's, God says, what is a koala? What are you praying? It's not time for praying. You saw him. He says, what is God told him in secret? He saw. God says, there is an energy higher than this energy that Mishpatim. It's called Arichampin. It's absolutely goodness, chesed of God. No boundaries. You don't need to have a zuchut to get that energy. This energy, if I want to talk about lights in Kabbalah, has 150 lights that can give you. Yud K, that's Yud He times 10. That's 150 lights. But there is an energy higher than this energy called Arichampin. Doesn't need Zuchut to do good, to help you, to save you. And that's what Moshe is heard from God. It's not up to me. It's a up to energy called Atika Kadisha. It's a totally Kedisha. It's not even Zahar and Mitla. It's not non-female. It's a one energy. It's a Chag. It's the ultimate Chesed. It's that energy that doesn't depend on Zuchut, if you have done good or bad. It's irrelevant. It's there to help you. He says, that energy can help you. And Moshe says, how can I get this energy? Now, put a stop here for a second. Look around. Look sometimes at yourself in the mirror. See if your eyes smile. See if your face smiles. Whether your face is shiny or your face is kind of happy. You are, light is coming out of you because there are people that you look at them. There is not a person in the world that doesn't have a problem to solve. Even if you are 5 years old, you have your own problem to solve. And when you are 70 years old, you have a problem of 70 years old to solve. If you are alive, you have a problem to solve. But is it possible that I go through the process of solving problem every day, day and night, and still have joy in my eyes and in my face? The totality of my face is sameach, totally in joy. Have you seen people like this? Are there people like this? Yes. So it says, what happened? I have one example for you guys to see. Rabbi Sharabi, Rashash. The face of the man is, it's gross. It's gross. Just simply gross. Rav Kaduri, you look at it, it's really gross. He says, what makes a person to go through life and still grow like this? He says, is this called Sameach? Sameach, that means simcha, comes from the joy and happy. He says, how do I can reach to this simcha? To have this, because, okay, I'm going through life, life is up and down, elevator every day. I have to go to garbage to find a little bit good food to eat. It's not easy, and whatever I want to enjoy, I better say, wait a minute, what are you doing? You enjoying it for your body or you enjoying it for God? I have to give everything to God, and you know what? Put all my energy and effort to do for God. How can I have really a smiling face and joy? Possible? He says, yes, it's possible. He tells, answers Moshe. He says, Matisak alai. He says, don't, it's not up to me, Moshe. I am the God of law. So have you done good? Is there a zuchut? There is a reward for you. But if there is no zuchut, what are you asking me to save you? So don't yell at me.
But there is a higher level, and he says, "Daber el Bnei Yisrael, talk to Bnei Yisrael, Vayisau." We know in Hebrew, Vav Yud, Vayisau is Vav Yud Samech Ayin. Now Vav Yud is called Pe'ula, that means makes a root into action. What is the root of Vayisa? Vayisau, that means is Samech Ayin. Samech is 60, Ayin is 70, together 130, is Kol is 130, is exactly five times Hovaya. Five times Hovaya, that means Hei Chasadim, five Chasadim put together in totality. So what Hashem is telling to Moshe is that you don't want me to judge you by the judgment to see whether you went through the law or you have zuchut or not. Go to higher than me, which called Arichampin, which is totally chesed. It's the kindness of Hashem. Only through His kindness can you go and say, Hashem, I am no good, but you know, still I am no good. I please want to beg you to save me here. He says, when we look at the name, Samech Ayin, 130, already Hashem tells you that you have to connect to this name, Va'ata Herim Et Matecha, Va'ata, and you pick up your cane, and you pick it up, and after you picked it up, and it is important that Moshe, you have to pick it up, that if you gotta do something, v'nita et yadecha, and take your hand, al hayam v'beke'ehu, and take your arm and just split the sea. You do it. V'yavau b'nei Yisrael betoch hayam, and this, that way, when Moshe did this, the sea opened up, and the Bnei Yisrael, the nation of Israel, came betoch, inside. Talks about inside the Yam, and they went through Yavesha, to dryness, to the word of Yavesh. Yavesh, we are writing Yud Bet Shin. For your information, Yud Bet Shin is exactly how many? 312. Now, look at this. How many Hovayot we have this Hovaya? That's 12 combinations. Yavesh is 12 times Hovaya. He says, when all these Hovayot, all these 12 Hovayot are revealed, you have got the totality of light that can save you, Moshe. But Yavesha you can go. And it all depends, you pick up your stuff and split the Yam. First of all, let's find out what is in Torah Mate, which is the cane. There's a concept called willpower. What is willpower? When you make a decision to do something and you have the power of executing it. That's called willpower. Now, the day that you decided to use your willpower is when you took your cane and you picked it up. Now, God says, take your will. You split the sea for what? In two, in order to realize the truth, the net, what that means. When there is a sea bottom of the sea, do you see what's the bottom of the sea? How can you see the bottom of the sea? How can you see the truth? You have to open the sea and dry the sea in order to see what's going on. So Hashem says, you want to see the truth? You want to establish the truth? Pick up your power, willpower, and split the mahout. Split that superficiality that you created of yourself. He said, what are you talking about? He says, you know, God made the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. God made the difference between Yamei Chol and Yamei Kadosh. Which day is Chol, is not Kadosh, and which day is Kadosh. Why God made difference? God made Choshech and Or. God made good and bad. Did He put difference between these two? Yes. God made Tahor, that means pure, Tameh, impure. What is your willpower is to do? Split that is in you whole, and that is in you kadosh. Break this superficiality that you created that based not on emet and shekel. Don't pretend. Accept the real fact who you are, what you are, based on truth. As soon as you are ready to pick up your willpower, your makom, and split the seas, is that aspect of your knowledge, your shefa, that is given to Klipa. That means there is a cancer. What is the cancer within a Jewish person? What's the cancer? The desire to oneself alone. Doubt. What else? Everything that is not kadosh. It's split it. Your duty is to separate between what is good in you and what is bad in you. I will save you. Arich Hampim, the Atika Kadisha will come, and if nature is to save you. But that depends to what? That you differentiate between what is kadosh and what is not kadosh. And what is not kadosh, you don't make kadosh. And what is kadosh, you don't make non-kadosh. Which means, give you an example, I gave it before. There is a candles of Shabbat. Is the candles of Shabbat kadosh? Yes, we call it kadosh. Now, can I take the candle? It's in a place that is disturbing me. The space. Can I take it and put it somewhere else? I wonder. I wonder. What's going to happen? Huh? No. I want to serve people. I need this space. I need the Pala Koresh to put. The candle is in the neighbor. It is disturbing me. Can I take the candle and put it here?
Yeah. Well, what if you're putting it in another
Why can I not move it? Exactly, because it's kadosh, because the Torah said so. Very simple. They said, my head is not there to see whether it's a logic or not logic. And God gives me an exercise to recognize what it is kadosh, what is not kadosh. What is the purpose of this exercise? What is learning me for God's sake if I move the candle? It's gonna, anything happen, nothing gonna happen really. But what have I done? I have put my idea over the idea of what was told by Torah. It's very simple. Now, what's wrong with it? What is really wrong with it? He says when a person follows, that means submit his nefesh, that means his activity to the will of God, to the hand of God, submitting to the hand of God. And he will use all whatever is in his power to do the work of God. He causes the olamot onyonim, that the upper world, all of them, to unite together. And that's when it says vayosha, that means shin ayin, that's when God saved the Bnei Israel. That when the salvation came. When the salvation came. On the other side of the Yam Suf, the Jews cried that why did you brought us here to bury ourselves in the desert? And then when the God opened the sea and they went through the Yabesha and they came to the other sea, and they saw that the Egyptians are all dead at Safatayam, that means the right at the edge of the Yam, those they were the people that they controlled the totality of, now they are dead, what did they do? As Yashir Moshe Ben Israel, that means, when do you sing really from all your heart?
Happy.
Are worried that your voice is not a good voice? Are you worried that somebody, neighbors, is going to get disappointed? You think your heart out. Are you happy that moment?
That's when you got 370 lights. Those are who able to do it, which means when they came to the other world and they recognized, they saw that whatever God did for them was good for them, and they saw with their own eyes that that was good for them, they had bitachon in God, such a bitachon, that means such a total guarantee, assurances from God, that they started from joy to think. It's only when you recognize that God did you good, not the good that God says good. Do I want, if God says, look, it's good for you. If your parents say, look, do this, it's good for you. What do I tell around to tell my parents? To your opinion, that's good for me. To my opinion, that's not good for me. Now, Hashem is going to be good for me. To his opinion? Hashem's opinion or my opinion? Hashem's opinion? No. It's not good enough for me. At all. I want to recognize that what Hashem done for me is good for me. And that was when they came to the other side. What this tells me, this story, my friend. Number one, recognize that everything happens in life and in your world, the finger of Hashem is in it. Always. That's number one. Number two, anything comes to you is good for you. Maybe you don't see it now, but you will see it one day to your own opinion. If you have experienced this, then you do not have any hope. Which means, what this business of hope? You know this red bands we put? What is this red string? It comes from Tanakh. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you where it comes. Goes to Yeshua, 2nd chapter, Pasuk 18. The story goes the following. When Yeshua wants to come to Eretz Israel, he sends spies to spy the land of Israel. When these guys, they go to land of Israel, suddenly the enemy recognize that they are spies, and they come to capture these two guys in order to destroy them. This is a true story in Tanakh. A whore, in name of Rahav, saves these soldiers, hides them in his house, in her house, and at the first opportunity, he saves them for them to run away. However, she says, that look, now that I have done this goodness to you, I know who you are. I know you are Bnei Israel. We all have heard what has happened in Kriyat Yam Suf to Bnei Israel. We know that you have received the Ten Commandments of Hashem. We know that in all your battles you have been successful and you have destroyed all the enemies of Israel. She says, that's the story in Tanakh. I beg of you one thing. Save me, my family, my children, my father, my mother, all my family. The soldier says the following. And that's where the red string comes. The soldier says, you know, there is a red string of silk. Take a red string and put it outside of your window. When we come, we're going to tell to all the soldiers of Israel, as soon as they see this red string, they will not attack your house and all your household will be saved. That's the story. Now the Rebbe asks a very beautiful question. He said, this string outside, it plays what? It plays a hope for the people inside the house that the soldiers will not come to destroy them. So the totality hope, it depends on what? On
that is true. So is there a possibility that be a rain and a wind or an animal or a tree or something to break this cord?
That's a hope. Would you like to live like a hope? With a hope? Thinking that this string, you hope that this string is going to save you? You hope that this string is going to take the sickness from you? You hope this string is going to cause you to be protected? Isn't that why you put it on? Because you hope? You want to base your life on one red string? That's number one. So hope is not something that I want to deal in my life. I don't want to depend on a cord. So he says, what else is there for me? He says, there is only one thing that you absolutely be sure in your life. And that's the only way that you will have the light of Arichampin in your embodiment. That means no matter how difficult your life is, still your eyes smile. Still your heart is happy. Still you have joy in your life. Life is not going to become easy. Life every day is going to become more difficult. Every day. Never sit down that the life tomorrow is going to be easier. It's not going to happen. But one thing you can make a difference is that to have more joy in your life. You will go through all the problems, but yet your eyes smile. Your face is shining. Pick up your willpower and split that false exterior that you have created for yourself. Be real. What you are inside, be outside. Don't pretend. Don't be somebody that you are not. Based your inside and outside on one aspect, Emet. Because you should really look and see how people see you. How much truth in what they see you? Sometimes we show off. What is showing off? Pretending of what I am not. And usually do I pretend for less than what I am or more than what I am? By far more. That means false and shaken. That's not what a Jew does. As soon as you decide to break this, then there is the Yosha Adonai. Then there is the salvation. Then there is this life. Doesn't come and look at you to see whether you have done well or not. Just the mere fact that you want to establish a met in your life. Now, how do I establish a met in my life? Only one thing. Four steps. To bring and study Torah and bring the Torah into my life. Number two, do my work, action, to be always good actions. That means gomel chasadi, good deeds. Go after doing good deeds. So derech eretz, just learn first to be polite. Just simply be polite to teeth. Respect. Respect your teacher. Respect your father. Respect your mother. Respect the law. Respect where you are. Respect the chair you're sitting and respect the table you're eating from. Number one. And then, pray. And what is praying? Only one thing. Praying is that God do me good. No such a thing. No freebies in this system. As a matter of fact, the system was created to stop freebies. Stop suckers. Stop the parasites. So, what is tefillah? Is to learn how to establish connection with my Creator. That's what the tefillah is. And every time I read the tefillah, it's only for one purpose. To learn how to establish this communication. I want to communicate with my Creator. I want to learn to communicate. I want to learn His language. I want to talk His language. I want, very simple, communicate with my Creator, with the source of my energy, with the goodness that brings as the law. And then sometimes I don't have any of the food. I'm a human being. I haven't had a chance to do good. I haven't recognized to do good. I have a possibility to turn around and say, Hashem, I am ready to recognize the emet and walk the emet. And that requires breaking, splitting. That means splitting what? Differentiating between good and bad. Between chol and kodesh. You have to recognize, feel what kedusha is. That's why God made the difference between Yamei Chol and Shabbat. He says, "Ot Hila Olam." That means this is the country of Shabbat. That means what will be weak, the up and downs, the ugliness, the good and bad and the ugly. You will feel during the week. With Shabbat, Yenafash. I want you to feel the difference. That's why I gave Shabbat. For you to recognize there is difference between Kedusha and non-Kedusha. If you don't feel, you will never ever have that assurance, that bitachon, that guarantee. That assurance you will, only that light will join you, will appear within you. If there is that assurance, that confidence in you. That confidence is not in you, that light will not join you. And that confidence only comes if you separate and differentiate between good and bad. And then there is a Sameach in the whole world. It says, when we call Sameach in the upper world, the upper world will do everything that every Ayoda of you feels this joy. Some people have very difficult life. Really hard life, many disappointed, but yet they have true smile on their face. Truly they are happy, they appreciate they are alive. That comes only recognizing assurances that His way of life, no matter as difficult as it may look to His eyes, is good. And He knows that He has accepted responsibility and He is doing His best. Sometimes you make mistakes, that's fine. That's okay. That's absolutely okay. The beauty is to turn around and say, that was a mistake. And as soon as you admit that was a mistake, you have gone derech eretz. The derech eretz is when you make a mistake, you say, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And you make the effort to differentiate where you went wrong and where you did good and where you did bad. And that's why the Am Yisrael finds this footpath literally to find. Now, allow me to read a few sections. It says, Bitachon, trust, by contrast, applies in situation when there is not even a shadow of a hope for a person to be saved. We are in the middle of the sea. And your boat breaks. You are in the water. What are you looking for? What are you going to do? Come on for a second. Have a good active imagination. Your boat went down. You are in the middle of the ocean. You look around for a piece of wood. If you find a little bit of wood, are you going to grab it? Correct? Now, what that is called? Hope. Because what did you give? Your hope to this piece of wood. Now, when there is not even that piece of wood, can you feel that whatever it is good? Because trust
Trust is not 99%. Trust is not 80%. Trust is 100%. That means I am there and I don't find even a piece of wood. Now, do you trust God? What that means? In your life, you come to a point, stop hoping. Stop hoping. Because hope is false. Because hope is going to destroy, waste your time. You think tomorrow is going to be better? I guarantee you tomorrow is going to be more difficult. Because you're not going to be as strong as today. But why can't you make a difference? There's one thing you can make a difference. As long as you trust. Now, how can I bring this trust? A good person asked me. Always accept that everything happens in your life, God has a finger in it. That's well known. Number two, everything comes to you, it's good. Start exercising. You know what? You will start smiling, by the way. Because the worst thing going to hit you, you're going to smile. He says, that's good. You know, your friend, your mother will come and says, you go win nuts. Stop studying Kabbalah. I told you last week about the guy who goes for a trip to Hawaii and the guy who stays behind. Very simple. Have absolutely sure and put your trust in God. But to put the trust in God, it means you take four actions. You do differentiate between good and bad. You put your mind to study the Torah and to do gomel chasadim, the good deeds, which are only mitzvot. That means you mesirat, you give your nefesh. You don't say, look, I'm tired, I'm sick, I don't want to go study Torah. I don't have time today, this week. You know, I had a hard time this week. No. You have made a decision that you're going to establish, study the Torah, no matter what, you specify, you program yourself, you discipline yourself to study the Torah. You study the mitzvot of Torah, you apply the mitzvot of the Torah in your life, and you learn how to be a derech eretz, that means apply to be how a polite person. Don't be disrespectful to nobody. Choose your words. Make your words to be pleasant rather than to be icky. You know, sometimes our mouth is worse than a knife. We say things that for years and years burns the heart of a person. Just because 1 second you were angry. So choose your words. Stop yourself. Get the anger out of yourself. Split between good and bad. Recognize what is good. Recognize what is bad and separate it. Differentiate it. Apply it in your life. And then sit down and establish a line of communication with your Creator that only you can do. That's a private line between you and your Creator. Understand that it is only you and your Creator. There is an aspect of Hashem that applies the law. Applies the law. It gives mishpatim. It gives chukim. It gives dinim. It gives, this is it. You do this. This is for this. Eye for an eye. An ear for an ear. And a nose for a nose. And a hand for a hand. It's the law. It goes by the law. And if you don't have zuchut, you don't have zuchut. I can't. But there is still an aspect that allows you to reach that level is when you come to an understanding that you are ready to pick up your hand and pick up your shoes and take your makel and go for the work. And you will receive a light that brings you simcha, brings you joy. Brings you, when you have a joy in your life, you obey the law. You enjoy to have the law. You want to have discipline and principles in your law. It is good to have law.
When we talked at the beginning,
by me putting limitation and lines of limits for myself, do I make myself
More powerful or less powerful? More powerful. So here we see the paradox. By me constraining myself, restricting myself, make myself more powerful. I define line for myself. And which line is the best? It's the line that the Torah gives us. And Moshe answers all the four categories. He says none of those categories are really applicable. Because we are not going to do no transformation. Your transformation is when you acquire absolute bitachon. And that is, trust by contrast applies in a situation when there is not even a shadow of hope for a person to be saved. Not even a straw to grab onto. And still, trust God. Trust God. Every one of us. It's not that we're going to overnight be successful. We have to go through life to recognize it. But then once we recognize it, once we break this Mitzrayim, once we learn how to put my willpower in use, how much of willpower do we use? Come on. How much I am dependent on what my friends tell me? How much peer pressure is really important? How much the style is important right now? Come on, if the style says keep the belly button out and I don't show the belly button, what's going to happen? You are not in. You're out. Correct? How much of it is in you? Oh, did you see the show last night? I don't know. What's one famous show? 24. Did you see 24 last night? Oh, what's the matter with you? You're not in the circle. You know why? You're out of it. That's not the Jewish circle. That's not me looking what everybody. I'm not a sheep that following everybody else. And I'm individual, and I have individual willpower. Nobody in the world will fight for you. When you have to stand one day to answer. I mean, do you believe that one day you gotta stand somewhere and say answer to your action? Is there such a thing? Is there anybody, if any of your friends is gonna come to your defense? Anybody is gonna raise a hand for you? Remember that. You are responsible for yourself. I cannot say my hand made me to pull the trigger. To build up that willpower is that I want to put my trust, full trust, only in one aspect, one thing, God. And I'm not negating, I am more than anything to follow and listen to your father and mother. Listen. Respect them. Even if you don't love them, but respect them. Listen to them. The final decision is yours. We are in the period that the children teach the parents. That's the time of Mashiach. So you as a child have a bigger and higher responsibility toward your parents than the parents have for you. Questions? Yes, please. Bravo. Allow me to explain what you are saying. The question is that at one point I said all the rivers, all the goodness, all the hashpaot, all the good hashpaot is come, end up at to the sea. He says now, Hashem told Moshe, take your matter and split this goodness. He says, very true. Where this klipa, where the parasite, where the tumor, where the cancer connects to?
where does it connect to? To the source of, that is the end, wherever the end is, wherever your bottom line is, where is the, your end, that's where the Klipa attacks. Which means, what is my bottom line? Pleasure? Success? Happiness? Rising? What is my, what's my goal? What's the end thing that I want? That aspect is most vulnerable to the Klipa of Egypt. That means, for that end point, that end point always enters into a Klipa. What is the end of a tree? Isn't it the fruit? Isn't the end result of a tree? After you put a seed and you put water and a root and a trunk and branches and leaves, what comes end out of this? A tree, a fruit. Where is this fruit? It's inside the Klipa. Every fruit is inside the Klipa. In order for you to reach to the goodness of this end, what do you have to do? Split the Klipa. That, I like that. Right on. So, that is what Hashem said. The seed is the fruit. Is the, all the goodness, is all the understanding, all the shefa, all the goodness that all the rivers brought into the sea. But however, this sea is covered with the Klipa of Egypt. In order to break and separate the good from the parasite, from the covering, from the shell, from this galut that is hiding the emet, from this concealment that I don't see the truth, this knowledge that is limited, this understanding that is limited, is due to what? To this Klipa. For you to free and to be able to rise and transcend, you have to break this Klipa called Klipa of Egypt. And what is Klipa of Egypt? When I submit my body, my home, the bayit, this is the bayit, the body is the bayit, the home of my neshama, to what? Instead of to do the work of neshama, that means to the work of Hashem, I give it to the pleasures of earthliness, material world. The ultimate aspect of Klipa of Egypt is the material world. Now, how much of your life and your characters and your habit involves pleasure of this material world? Because if you are inside the Klipa, this does Klipa allow you to go pray for God? Because Moshe went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go because I, my people want to go and pray for God. And what Pharaoh said? So I don't know the God that you are talking about, but let me stay here. But we didn't allow the Klipa, until God doesn't allow you and give you the opportunity to break it and free you, you cannot pray, you cannot study, you cannot learn, you cannot get aliyah, you cannot be samurach. You know why 99% of our faces is gloomy? 99% of the time? Because we are not really doing the work. And we know it better. Otherwise, what's the reason? Who didn't enjoy himself today eating? Who didn't have pleasure today? Who didn't enjoy himself? Kambuja, your voice gets into this. So purpose is to break the Klipa, to free myself, to be able to pray, to be able to learn, to be able to do good deed. Is an addicted person is able to do good deed? He will take a bag, your bag, You're an old person, you're on the other side of the street, you want to cross the street, you want a good deed. The guy says, oh, this is an old lady that really needs help. And he's addicted, he needs money. He has to satisfy his needs. What's his purpose of helping the lady to cross? Trust me, to steal the bag. It's taken apart. The guy is not thief, the guy is a good human being. Probably has been a good boy. That has ulterior motive. That ulterior motive is the superficiality. It's the goodness burning into Klipa of Mitzrayim. The goodness, the Shefa is there within me. But who's covering it? Who's concealing it? Who's not allowing it to fly? Is my Yetzer Hara. He says, take the Nakel. You got to take your willpower. You have to decide, this is it. The purpose is not to go to fight Egypt. The purpose is not to jump into the sea. The purpose is not to sit down and day and night to say tefillah in order so maybe God opens the sky and saves me. None of the force. He says, none. The purpose is to do Mesirat Nefesh and trust God that everything comes is good. As long as you follow the four phases of life, a Jewish life, a Jewish life. Study the Torah, do your best on the principle. When you say Tuesday, I'm coming to the class, make it Tuesday. Even though sometimes you come and say, well, I didn't understand nothing. You know, it was a lot of gibberish to me. I mean, a lot of Hebrew and a lot of this and a lot. A million excuses you give to yourself not to come again. Because it forces you to change. It makes you be aware that there is a part of you that is meluchlach, is dirty. You have to decide to finally to make a separation between what you were and what you should be. You know what's the most difficult thing to do in the world? To change. And we avoid it in every way possible to change. So I slack. The guy who slacks is the one that goes back to Egypt. Comes and says, well, to be dati doesn't pay well. I do a hard work and they tell you we don't pay you this world, I will pay you next world. Look at what kind of a guarantee that is. And you know what? On top of it, they tell me trust. And what? Show me the money. That's how smart we are.
But how come after 23 days after they went back out of this time, Moses, they immediately forgot everything?
Bravo. Because they didn't earn it. They didn't get it for Zechut. So still the goodness of Hashem forgive them again. Because Moshe said, you know what? Hashem, aren't you Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed? You brought the Jews to now to destroy them? So they made a mistake. God says, okay, I listen to this one to you.
Many times mistakes.
Come on, didn't he forgive you and me many times in our lifetime? In my case, my credit card is past its limit. Phew, long time ago. I'm coming.
Then if that happens, then there's no cause and effect. I mean, we all want to enjoy and do the right thing. But if we are my yamsel and all the good and all the bad, if they didn't do any good and they still got the freebie basically and passed. So that means that if you follow the instruction necessary, you don't necessarily all the time get it. And if you don't follow the instructions, sometimes you will get it.
Now, there are times that I get to the point of my life that I don't see any salvation. And when I look at myself and my work and my way of life, I really don't give myself any credit that I've done good. Because I come to realization that
There is a lot of my life is phoniness. It's just to pretend. Such a point, on what basis can I have one more chance? The whole thing what Torah is telling me is that no matter how down you are, no matter how bad you are, God is ready to give you one more time to try it with you, as many times as you need. Because God knows the action is not easy. It takes time to trust God. God understands it. It's not simple. You have to go through a lot of trials in your life. Heart has to be broken. It'll break. It comes to the point that is only between you and your God, and you will know that what happened in your life, one day, you will admit, in lifetime, that it's good.
But the confusion and the doubt comes that it's not the cause versus effect. You don't do
the
this
doubt comes,
tomorrow.
The doubt comes that what I see cannot be possibly good for me. That means, because, now, I wanted to put the class for tonight, the following. Let's take a little 5 minutes. What is time? What's the definition of time? Time is made of three aspects. Past, future, and present. They are totally three different consciousness. In totality, they define the past time, the present time, and the future time. The past is totally chesed. Whatever happened in the past and the creation was made absolutely in chesed, in goodness of God. God created the world of absolute chesed, but this is past. And what is future? What is the future going to have? Very simple. The Torah tells me, that is, the totality of the truth will be revealed. When the totality of goodness of God will be revealed, when there is not a yoda of doubt anymore in the world. As long as there is doubt, the truth will not be revealed. When this truth will be revealed? In the future. Now, the only entity that has the past and the present and the future is only the Creator. What is my portion? I am neither nor have any idea in the past really God when he started the creation. I have no idea of the past. I'm not talking past. I really don't have even last week what I ate for breakfast. So I don't have not much idea in the past. And the future? For sure I don't have no idea of. What do I have? No, just the present. I have the present. I have the middle. What is the middle of past, which is chesed, and the future is a pure judgment. It's a pure judgment is the future, because if God doesn't judge the totality of sitra achra, which is bad, the remaining, it will be a day of judgment. There is going to be a day of judgment again, and that day of judgment is total implementation of the law of Hashem. So it will be. What's going to be in between? Only Rachamim. So that means I am living in the quantum energy of mercy. That means every aspect and work that I do, and the way I do, and the way I conceive, and the way I apply, should be in frame of absolutely Rachamim. Do you have mercy? He will have mercy. Is this aspect of mercy within me? Means there must be fusion in me. How do I make fusion? A Jew makes a fusion. How God makes a fusion? said, so in the middle of the midnight or Shabbat, he commands the two opposites. How do a birth is made? A male, a female, the opposites, correct? They get together, they become united, one, and as soon as they are one, there is the Kedusha of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there is the creation of a child with a soul. And God has to be in it. Always God is in fusion. Now, how can I make the mercy of God to be in within me? That's the bottom line. I want mercy of God. Is that I have to act in fusion. That means to take two opposites within me and fuse them together. What are the two opposites in me? One opposite is my mind, my logic, my willpower that only goes after what? What all your willpower is there? What do you want to work for? And by the way, today I thought about you, I think you got it finally. Honestly, I mean it. You were today all day in my mind. It's one of the blessings to the Jews is my friend Mr. Dadeshti, Dr. Dadeshti here. Now, in order to do this fusion within me is the following. An aspect of me to make decisions and willpower is aspect of being. I decide on what to enjoy. I decide what to pick up, what not to pick up, where to go, where to sleep, what to do. All is my decision. That's my gevurot. So what I do is I take that power and I give it to Hashem. That willpower, I give it in the hand of Hashem. What is remain for me? If I give my nefesh to Hashem, that means the gevura to Hashem, what is remaining in me? Huh? What else do I have? Time. What am I going to do with time? If I gave my nefesh to God, what should I do anything? If I don't do anything, I don't produce any chassadim. The nefesh is the gevura. But if I take, even though that I know that no pleasure is me, all the pleasures I'm giving to Hashem, however, I use all my body, all my capabilities to do the work of Hashem. Anything I do is the only work of Hashem. That means produce chassadim. When the fusion happens, in me. Because the nefesh, the gevura, is given to God. My action is the work of God. And we said when there is a unification in one aspect called Kadosh Baruch Hu, then there is fusion. Otherwise, there is no fusion. If a Jew comes and takes his time and says, you know what, God, I gave 24 hours out of 24 hours, 18 hours I give you, 6 hours I want for myself. How much credit I have got given to myself? How much credit did I give to myself? How much good have I done? As much as I have given to Hashem. The 6 hours that I've taken for myself, I have not done 6 hours any good for myself. Because in these 6 hours, I have not created fusion. What I have done? I've only taken for myself. Not done fusion. Fusion is only happens if you give your capability, your action to the work of God, and your pleasures, your nefesh, you submit in hand of God. Then you have fusion. Now, if a man and a woman, they sleep together in order to make a child, if their consciousness, each one of them is in a different alley, what's going to be confused? I promise you, the kid that comes out is totally confused. Confused. But when these two come into good fusion and they bring godliness into this fusion, what the soul is going to come? It's a very good soul.
Does the character that God gives that person play that? But that's God-given character.
God doesn't give characters. God gives you the capabilities of you building your character. You build your character through your habits. The habits that you pick up is going to make your character and your personality.
So a scared person and a fighter person both have the same character at birth? I don't think
No. It depends to what kind of a tikkun you have. It all depends what you came to learn here. So now you're getting involved. We cannot compare this kind of a comparison. Question? Yes.
Going back to the war, I mean, it should teach us that God uses even the sinner to bring salvation to the Jews. God used that woman to help us. So even the sinner can make contribution to this.
I go even one step further. God created 17 nations to do good for Israel. I do not consider anybody that surrounds Eretz Israel to enemy of Israel, but they are all there to help Israel.
That's what I'm saying even if we're saying that, God can still use us to contribute to creation.
Our purpose is always to contribute to His creation. Day and night. No, even if I am a sinner, I have an opportunity and to do good. No matter, you cannot change the course of the creation. Whatever you do, God will make something good out of it. Even if you are a sinner. No. Now you see, you pushed it too far. You say, now even to be a whore is kadosh. Yeah. To be a whore is not a kadosh. Remember that.
No, I said there is divine.
There is a possibility that even a whore can become one day, make a teshuvah and be, go the way of Kedusha. Don't chacha here. It's separate between Kedusha and whore. I love you. Now, the best deed that you can do is keep your discipline of coming to the class. Number one. I don't think I am teaching you here but anything other than to do good for yourself. My expectation from you is nil, void, zero, nothing. But you will make me extremely a happy person if you succeed in your life. Your success is my success. Now, what I am learning and teaching you here, trust me, I didn't get it for free. And I'm not giving it to you for free. Because when you hear it, you have responsibility because you received. In Kabbalah, there is a problem. In giving, there is no problem. I don't have problem in giving. But you have a problem in receiving. But don't be chicken. Don't say, I don't want to go hear it. I don't hear, I don't see, don't say anything. Don't be the monkey. Face the world. Face the fear. Take the responsibility. Put the discipline in your life. Study the Torah and slowly change your act. And be real. Be real with your friend. Be real with yourself. Be real with your surrounding. Be honest, even if at first they don't accept you and they say, you know what, you are not one of us. Don't let that change your way of life. Let them to join you because eventually they come and say, I don't know, I hear you are working so hard, you have so much power. How come you're smiling so much? What are you drinking? That smile comes from inside. That's a real joy when a person takes a responsibility and sees difference in your life. The beginning of seeing difference in life when you see difference in your days. The day that you do not recognize Shabbat is different than the other days, you haven't yet felt the difference. That's why God gave one day Shabbat for you to feel difference. And if you keep Shabbat, if you make as part of your life to implement Shabbat truly in your life, you will see there is a difference between whole, that means not complete, and kadosh, completeness. That's why the trust is not a wishy-washy trust. It's a complete trust. I don't want to have a confidence that as soon as there is, I get scared. No, they come and give me bad news, seriously bad news. And I say, okay, That's another trial. Gamzu letova, there is something good out of this will come, for sure. Beyond shadow of doubt. Beyond shadow of doubt. Don't allow doubt to run your life. If doubt runs in your life, you will not achieve any goodness in your life. You will look one day in the mirror and you say, what happened to my youth? What happened to my life? Don't get to that stage. You can prevent it and you can enjoy. You can sit down and tell your great-grandchildren good stories that makes them full of life. And they are nothing but your extension. That's immortality. That's the real immortality. When your seed keeps on continuing. Keeps on going! Non-stop! That's immortality. That's your neshama continuing. Different clothes. Sometimes Armani, sometimes Bernini. It's okay. But the real inside is real. Shalom, I love you all. Shalom, Baba.